Hello everyone and welcome to the 29th episode of the Connectivity Podcast. I'm Mattias Fridström and I've spent the last 25 years inside the connectivity community. In this pod, we invite guests to deep dive into one or many subjects to simply learn more about connectivity. And in this 29th episode, I'm extremely happy to have Jesse Robbers from Quantum Delta with me. Hello, Jesse.
Hello.
For the people that doesn't really know you, who are you?
So I'm Jesse Robbers. I'm one of the directors of the foundation Quantum Delta that is accelerating quantum technology in the Dutch market. I'm responsible there for the translation to the industry, leading the quantum network developments on national level, representing the Netherlands on international level if it comes to the construction of quantum networks between different member states in Europe. I have a long background in digital infrastructure. Was previously the chief commercial officer of the Amsterdam Internet Exchange, one of the biggest internet exchanges in the world. Had different roles at Ericsson and KPN, always in the field of digital infrastructure, internet exchanges, internet traffic, and media.
All right. Oh, that's really cool. Fantastic background for this podcast then, who is all about connectivity, but yeah. cool things around connectivity. You said you work at Quantum Delta. Could you give us a bit more about what Quantum Delta is for?
Yeah. So there are a lot of developments going on in the Dutch market around quantum technology. Of course, not only in the Netherlands, but also in other countries in Europe, but also internationally. But in the Netherlands especially, we have a couple of top institutes that are developing quantum technology around quantum computing, quantum networking, and quantum sensing. And in 2019, all these institutes came together and said, we need to make a plan to accelerate developments around quantum technology. And then we built a national agenda of quantum technology where we make concrete what kind of projects we need to do to accelerate these developments there and how we can build up the ecosystem around quantum technology. And we presented this also to the Dutch government, and the Dutch government was really happy with it and awarded this with funding mechanisms to accelerate and to develop these projects. And therefore, we built up the Quantum Delta Foundation to execute these projects with the research institutes, with the community, with the industry, and many other stakeholders on national level and international level.
All right. Okay. So how many people are you really in Quantum Delta? How big is it?
Quantum Delta is a small entity. It's around 10-15 people that are active for Quantum Delta, mainly on steering the budget, steering the strategy, representing the Netherlands in different international activities. But the majority of the activities is executed in the knowledge institutes, like the universities, applied research organizations, industry players, and startups. So we are steering a large group of people, around 200, 300 people at the moment, that working on the projects of Quantum Delta, but in other entities.
All right. Okay. So you steer these guys that comes up with the cool, bright ideas. You know, for people that doesn't really know quantum mechanics and all that stuff, could you just give a very, very short what it really is? You know, what are we talking about here?
So I'm starting with the quantum computer, because that's the main topic always. The quantum computer is the promise of the digital computer world that we have today. The main difference there compared to traditional computing is that a quantum bit is a little bit different than a traditional bit. A traditional bit has a zero and a one, and there we build up lots of transistors that we put in iPhones, supercomputers, etc. But a quantum computer and a quantum bit could have the status of a zero and a one. And that means that it can deliver exponential growth in calculation capacity for computers in the future. And not only calculation capacity, but also they can run more complex algorithms than traditional computers or traditional supercomputers. So they can work, or the promise is that they can work with more complex issues that they can calculate than the traditional infrastructure that we have today. Then also, if you come to quantum networking, there's also another thing important. Of course, the superposition of the qubits, where they also can have the zero and the one combined. but also there's the entanglement possibility where you can entangle data sets on different sites and you can link them together and then make the data sets on both sides similar without transporting the complete data set from one to the other location. And these are important fundamentals to develop quantum network technology today.
All right. Okay. So what would you say, you know, how is this all in labs still, or are we seeing any real world development?
Yeah. So it's real world at the moment, but quantum computing is still in the lab at the moment. Quantum computers, the promise is that the first applicable quantum computers could be used in 2030. So that will take a time, and then probably on a sort of central location as we have the central high-performance computers scattered over Europe or worldwide on different places that are used by scientific solutions that they need to calculate, or that they need to calculate difficulties in the chemical industry or the medical industry. So it will take some time before we have these computers on the central locations. Before it's there in the households, that will take years, and I can't predict at the moment. If it comes to quantum networking, that's much closer by. There are different generation of quantum technology where people working on at the moment. The first generation of quantum network technology is called the quantum key distribution technology. This technology is becoming out there and is becoming productized there. The first vendors are there. They have deployed their products at the moment, but there is a lot of development coming up and upcoming years that will be delivered to the market and could be implemented by telecom operators or end users. If it comes to quantum internet, that's the second generation quantum network technology where everybody is working on. That's about connecting quantum computers, of course, and this will take more time and probably will be applicable around the time that quantum computers are also out there.
Okay, so you said 2030 here. You know, what does need to happen now between now? It's 8 years until 2030. What is it? Is it much more development in labs, or is it just what do we need now?
I think there are a couple of elements that need to develop now. At the moment, there are different qubits at the moment where they're working on, from spin qubit to superconducting qubits to other types of qubits. And these qubits are all not stable at the moment. So at the moment, the scientific areas are working quite hard to find the right qubits that could be stable or could be compensated with a sort of error correction at the moment. And there's a sort of race at the moment going on. What is the most stable qubit, and what is the qubit that we can replicate quite easily or can build simultaneously, that they can calculate simultaneously at the moment? And that's a challenge at the moment. That's the most important topic at the moment. Then when the qubit's direction is there, or probably one or two will win, then the applications need to be built up. And then the translation, what kind of algorithms do we need to put in to calculate in these applications based on the hardware with the different qubits at the moment? So there are different phases at the moment where people are working on, and that needs to combine the upcoming years. And hopefully that will lead to a stable quantum computer in 2030 that could really be used for applicable cases.
Okay. You said there is a race between different entities. Do you feel there is world collaboration here, or is it more world competition here? Are there countries who really want to be first here, or companies who want to be first, or is there collaboration between all involved parties in the quantum world?
Yeah, both are currently happening. So okay. At the moment, a lot of universities working close together in corporations, in partnerships to work on these different quantum technology developments there. But also big tech companies like IBM, Microsoft, and Google are working also on their own strategy, on their own technical developments to build up large quantum computers for the longer term. IBM has released the IBM Q computer. It's there. You could do some calculations with it, but it's not ready to build large applications and to make it applicable already. So it's a combination of different developments where there is partnerships, where there is competition.
Okay. You know, we as a company own a big network around the world. That's what we live on, and connectivity services. When do you think a company like us should start to look in this way instead of looking at the traditional way of sending digital bits around the network?
I think you need to do this. You need to start already yesterday, I think.
All right.
although the business case for quantum network technology is not ready yet and is a challenge at the moment, the way of thinking how quantum network technology is working is different. And it takes time to learn how that could work, how that could affect your existing infrastructure, how you need to invest on the longer term, and what kind of models you need to bring on the table for your end customers in the end. Also, you need to train your staff again, because quantum technology needs to have a different mindset, how to work with it. And that's going on at the moment. And different telecom operators in Europe, in Asia, and in North America are already working quite hard on this technology and already thinking of how to implement this in their infrastructure and how to manage this in different propositions to their end customers at the moment. So there's a lot of things going on. And also translated to your existing infrastructure, you don't put fiber in the ground for a couple of years. You put fiber in the ground for 10, 15, 30 years. Yes. And there are different discussions going on at the moment about how do you reach one side to another side, and how many repeaters do I need, or what kind of edge locations do I need. And if you roll out fiber today, you need to keep in mind how that could work for quantum technology, and how do you anticipate on the future technology that is going out there. As an example, we have a lot of sea cable infrastructure in the world. But probably the existing sea cable infrastructure is not ready for quantum technology because of the distance that is between different landing stations, or the repeater technology that is used or not flexible to replace on the bottom of different seas. And if you want to replace these systems in the upcoming years, or you want to upgrade this, you do this for a longer term. You need to keep in mind what kind of technology is coming up the upcoming years.
All right. So the fiber type we are used to today, do you believe on land between cities that might be reusable? But you say that the sea cables across the Atlantic, 6,500 kilometers, that's not going to work because the amplifiers are not good enough or built that way.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And at the moment, there are also new fiber types that could help to roll out quantum technology. So if you traditionally choose for a typical fiber supplier, that could work for the existing infrastructure and the existing technology that we have out there. But there are different new players on the market that deliver different fiber types that could help the acceleration of the implementation of quantum network technology into the existing infrastructure. So there also, you can think already now, if I buy a fiber, what will it mean? How do I need to organize this? And what kind of suppliers do I need to prepare it for the future?
Okay, so these fiber types are already existing. We don't need to wait until 5 years when they are developed.
No.
They're all right.
Correct. Oh, they're not in mass production yet, but they are there and they are looking for markets, and they are at the moment supplying mainly scientific networks at the moment. But there is an opportunity for them, but also for the classical network infrastructure suppliers to accelerate already these developments.
Okay. One thing that's become quite popular recently is the satellite systems coming back, the sort of low orbit satellites that's coming in there. Are satellites thinking about quantum physics as well, or is it sort of, Do we really need fiber to produce these enormous amounts of traffic capacities?
I think both are necessary at the moment, also for quantum technology. So for the first generation of quantum network technology, the quantum key distribution technology is also important for satellite at the moment. And there are different projects running in Europe, but also in Asia and North America, where they combine the laser satellite communication with a quantum key distribution technology. And there are concrete plans to launch a special quantum key distribution satellite in Europe that could exchange quantum keys between different locations in Europe, but also can connect easily overseas location to exchange there the keys on quantum technology, because overseas will be for a longer term an issue to connect by fiber infrastructure. So the combination is important and will be important for the midterm.
All right. Oh, that's cool. You talked about the Quantum Internet Alliance. Could you just explain a bit more what that means?
So in the Netherlands, from the Netherlands, the Knowledge Institute, QTech, which is a joint venture or a cooperation between the University of Delft and the Applied Research Organization TNO. They built up the Quantum Internet Alliance already a couple of years ago to build the fundament and the software layers and the repeaters for quantum internet solutions. So they have launched it already a couple of years ago, and recently they upgrade this program, which is also funded by the European Commission. It's a cooperation between many universities, industry players in Europe, and they have the goal to build up the quantum network infrastructure. And we call it today Quantum Internet, but it's mainly about the connectivity between quantum locations, quantum computers or quantum processors on different locations. It's about building the controlware to steer the hardware of quantum networking, but also to build an orchestration layer on top of the quantum network that could act on different quantum networks, that could combine different quantum networks, but also can bridge the quantum network with the existing classical networks that we have out there. We talk about quantum internet at the moment. Personally, I think it's a wrong word because we are talking about quantum networking. And the internet nowadays, how we call it, is a combination of connectivity, servers, applications, etc. So it's a sort of misinterpretation, in my opinion. But everybody understands that quantum internet is the fundament for the connectivity infrastructure that we have today, and that helps to sell the developments there. But quantum internet is about connecting quantum computers and quantum processors.
Okay. When you talk about the quantum network and the quantum internet in the future and that stuff, do you feel the same type of players are needed when that network is built and up and running? Like you talked about, you worked at AMSIX before, an internet exchange. Do you feel the combination of operators, ISPs, content providers, internet exchanges, is the world going to be very similar when the quantum is there, or will there be completely new and different companies running the public, or what then the public internet?
I think it's a difficult question always, because always we're thinking from the traditional way how we work with technology and how can we implement on what we have today. Like the transistor was the fundament of the transistor radio, and at that time we didn't know that it was the fundament for an iPhone. So at the moment we are thinking classical, of course. So, of course, in the first phase, we need to have the telecom providers to deliver fiber solutions, to deliver the infrastructure there. I think the first business case or the first productized solutions will be delivered by telecom operators at the moment. There's a lot of interest also from different telecom operators that are interested to do proof of concepts and build up test beds in the Netherlands. Players like Eurofiber or Orange in France or Deutsche Telekom in Germany, they're really active to see how can they implement this technology in their backbone and how can they build solutions in the governmental area or the financial area to protect, because that's the biggest promise for the short term, existing data exchange in the business market. But we don't know how that really will deploy. When it comes to the quantum internet, I think it will be first adopted by research networks, networks like Géant or the different research networks that are out there in the different EU member states, for instance. They will try to adopt it. They will try to connect their university infrastructure there. They will try to connect the supercomputers there. And as we've seen it also in the Netherlands, there was a supercomputer in Amsterdam that accelerated connectivity, that accelerated the exchange of data with internet exchanges like AMSIX, that accelerated the data center infrastructure there. So I think it starts, especially with quantum internet, in the research area and the research networks.
All right. Oh, that's really cool. You mentioned earlier that there is some competition out there and so on. When it comes to resources or skilled people, you know, do you feel there is enough skilled people in the world to sort of bring quantum into real life, or are there a need for more people going this direction?
We need definitely more people at the moment. There is so much going on in the quantum field, but also in the related fields around quantum. If you look to the optica, the photonic area, if you're looking to the nanotechnology, if you're looking to the chips development, all these technologies are required also to build up the quantum technology ecosystem. And we need much more skilled people there at the moment. And also in our Quantum Delta program in the Netherlands, we added one and we called Action Line, where we want to build up the future generation that is able to work with quantum technology. So we try to educate people on university level, but also on the level, on the lower levels, because the hands are also required to engineer the software, to engineer the networks, etc. And that's at the moment a race on talent at the moment. But also people that can that has a background in the existing digital infrastructure, that can bridge from the digital infrastructure to the future infrastructure with quantum technology, with photonica, etc. These people are really not there at the moment, and we need to train them, we need to educate them, we need to embrace them and to bring them in the companies and educate them, because there's a big gap at the moment.
Okay, yeah, I can understand that. One of the things we have an issue with in our industry, in the communication world, is of course that there are new entrants coming in, like the hyperscalers, who is, I wouldn't say stealing resources, but they're hiring our people because they need more people. Yeah. Is that the same thing you're afraid of in your world, that, you know, the Googles and the Amazons of the world will just simply take them over?
Yeah, I think that's happening. I saw it already happening in the AI. So the most skilled peoples at the moment from Europe at the moment are hired by companies like Google and Amazon, etc. And I see the sort of same strategy happening at the moment in the quantum field. It's not that obvious at the moment because the quantum field ecosystem is not that big at the moment. But I see this also happening there. And I think it's good that some people moving in these types of companies, because also they bring added value there, but it should be in balance at the moment. And I think that's required for the future.
Yeah, I guess there is a delicate balance here between sort of two technologies. You know, we have the quantum physics, who is in their world, as you said, and that's a world that's hard to understand if you not grow up in that world. And then we have the traditional connectivity world. How would you say we work with that one at the moment? You know, I guess you are one of the persons in here that is trying to understand the quantum world. You come from the connectivity world, but how do we work to get those two worlds together?
Yeah, indeed, I made that step. So I don't have a background in physics or mathematics or etc. I really have a digital infrastructure background. What we have done in the Dutch market, but also what the European Commission is at the moment pushing in Europe, is that we build up large-scale testbeds where we bring the different knowledge areas together and to make it applicable there. So how can we bring a quantum internet technology development or a QKD technology development at the moment in an applied environment to make it applicable in a governmental area or a telecom environment? And bringing these two entities together, they can learn from each other. And that's really a goal that they're also achieving at the moment in the Dutch market, but also in the European Commission environment. We have nice technology developed in Europe. How can we make that applicable with the Dutch governmental bodies so that they can learn what quantum technology is and what its potential can bring or not could bring, but also the opposite. How can a governmental operational body learn from the quantum technology is out there and bring their experience into the quantum field and the learnings to them? So what do they need to, for instance, protect their network infrastructure with potential quantum technology, and what then needs to be taken into account in the development of the future versions of this technology infrastructure there? So it's really bringing people together, force them to work together, build up test beds and use cases where the different entities really need to work further. And always you see from both sides that people are eager to say, hey, I'm a quantum physicist. I'm interested to look to the applied side and really eager to work with a governmental area or a telecom operator, or the other way around. The telecom operator has always someone that is really eager to learn from quantum technology and to make this applicable in their own infrastructure. And we need to accelerate this and support this, because then you create interest from both sides in this development.
Okay, that sounds cool. Thanks everyone for listening. In the next episode, we will continue to talk to Jesse Robbers, so stay tuned until next time. Please also remember the Twitter handle ConnectivityPod for updates.